Go on. Run back to your masters. You have one chance. Don't waste it. I'm not the kind of person who offers second chances.
Stupid woman! What good is a sword?
One chance!
Anya felt the thrill of the years coursing through Joan's sword. She slashed at the big man, forcing him to move back toward the door, out of reach. The vitality of Joan of Arc's fabled sword filled her. She felt strong, invincible. The big man raised a pistol.
That was your chance.
The tip sliced into the big man's suit. The bullets drove into the wall above and behind Anya. She spun and sliced through the barrel of his pistol. The big man ran for the hotel room door and threw it open. But before he could run, Anya saw movement from the corner of her eye. She stepped backward, but tripped over the camera case sticking out from beneath the bed. Her sword arm was trapped beneath the silent man's bulk. It was as though time stretched. The silent man swung a fist down at her. Anya used every fiber of her very being, every ounce of strength, to buck against his weight. It was enough to unbalance him. His punch went wide, catching Anya with a glancing blow to the head. She drove her knee into his groin. The silent man curled up and fell away, rolling off Anya, clutching his groin. The big man, now without the aid of his gun, rushed Anya, but stopped dead in his tracks as she rose into a crouch, sword in hand.
You had your chance. I hate it when people don't listen to me.
You talk too much, woman. It will be the death of you.
There was limited space to fight in the room, the low ceiling and proximity of the bathroom and bed making it difficult to maneuver with any kind of grace. She forced him back until he was half in the doorway, half out. Anya pulled the sword back, inviting him to attack. He obliged, stepping in close and throwing a punch. The pommel of Joan's sword struck him on the side of the head. He fell awkwardly, his head cracking off the side of the dresser.
Anya! Anya, are you okay? What the hell is going on?
Anya checked to see if the attacker was still alive. She felt a weak, fluttering pulse in the vein at his neck.
Weak is better than non-existent.
She looked up at Johann. The sword was gone, back to the otherwhere. She had no idea if he'd seen it or witnessed its return.
Is he dead?
Not yet.
Oh, remind me not to get on the wrong side of you.
The silent man started to move again. He came up behind her far quicker than he should have been able to. He grabbed her around the neck, driving his knee into the base of her spine. Spots of light burst across her vision. She clawed at her attacker, but his grip was vice-like. Applying pressure under her chin, he forced Anya to rise. Then he used his extra weight to keep her rising until she was barely on her toes as he pushed her toward the open French doors. Anya knew exactly what he intended to do. Johann appeared to be frozen in fear.
Johann!
Anya arched her back as she tried to butt him in the face, but he anticipated the move and drove his free fist into the base of her spine. Anya embraced the pain. Pain meant she was alive. Pain meant she still had a chance. Her skull cracked off the side of his Neanderthal brow. It hurt her more than it hurt him, but she didn't care.
Johann, get the gun!
She knew the gun was destroyed, but that didn't matter. It was all about casting doubt in the enemy's mind. Giving him a second enemy to think about meant 2 points of attack. Anya could feel cool breeze on the side of her face. They were already on the threshold. 2 more steps, and it would be too late to do anything but learn how to fly. 1 step. Anya felt the iron railing dig into her side as the silent man twisted her around. She scrambled, kicking out her feet uselessly, unable to stop him as he heaved her up toward the drop. And then her legs were on the other side of the railing, and there was nothing between her and the parking lot. The big man slowly released his hold on her. Anya started to slide away from him, as though he could no longer hold on to her. She twisted in a tight half-turn as her arms were freed, grabbing for the railing as the grip of his meaty hand slipped. Flailing, Anya snagged hold of something, his legs, the balcony railing, and hung there for a heartbeat, but even as she did, it started teetering. Anya used her body weight to bring him over the top of the railing. She let go, willing her momentum to carry her the precious inches to safety as he tumbled silently past her. Anya's fingers caught the rough concrete, but with nothing to hold on to, started to slip. And then she felt a hand close around her wrist.
Hold on!
Any relief she felt was tempered by the sound of the silent man hitting the concrete. She didn't look down. She didn't need to. He wasn't going to be getting up again.
I've got you!
Anya finally hooked her foot over the concrete edge.
Careful! Careful! Okay!
And reached up to grab the guardrail and scramble back to safety. Anya just stood there, feeling the solidity of the floor beneath her feet.
Hanging on for dear life puts a lot of strain on your shoulder, Johan. I don't recommend it.
Johan held the gun in his hand.
I don't know what to do with this.
Anya took it from him, hoping he hadn't noticed that it was chopped in half. The mangled gun couldn't have been fired, but it was an effective club.
I killed him. We should call the police.
Gunshots and a body in the parking lot below. There are going to be a lot of people swarming over this room in a second.
Johan was right, of course. Calling the police was exactly what they should do. But Anya's survival instincts were recommending another course of action.
No, I need to call some friends first. They'll know what to do.
Anya meant Rue and Garin.
Before that, however, we need to take care of Sleeping Beauty. I want to pry a few answers out of him before the cops turn up.